Okay, here we go. Take your Bibles this morning. I'll slow down for this one. And let's turn to Job. Maybe. We'll turn to Job in case that's where I want to start off with. But right now, let me just show you some things here. The title of this thing, if you want to have a title, is How to Please God. Backup title would be what I believe to be one of the most of his many important things, or probably the most important thing that Paul can teach us about the risen Christ. It's only taught by Paul, and it's only revealed in the dispensation of grace, Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 3. But let me start off by saying this, that as you get older and you realize what's going on in the world and how it's changed, I don't have a problem in saying what I'm going to say here, and that's the fact that people are selling their country. They're selling their country for money. But I go beyond that. They're selling their families. We're losing our families, and it's all over money. We're willing to sell our children. And I don't mean to some street guy. I mean, we're giving up our children for money. We're selling our church in time because of money. We can keep it going. You know, the other day I read in the paper, somebody gave some organization, I forgot what the organization was, but gave $50,000 to some organization in Walla Walla. I just put the paper down and I got to thinking. LD, one gift, $20,000, $30,000. There's people out there that could do that. One big chunk would keep this church going for a long time. Preaching about Paul. Why doesn't God have cash? He's got the 1,000 cattle on a hill, all that kind of stuff, but why can't he turn in a few and send some of the... I shouldn't complain. He's doing fine for us here. It's going to get tight. I'm nervous about that, but we can't let that stop us from saying the truth. So, people are selling their themselves. They're selling their soul. They're giving up their soul. For what? Well, what I see is they're giving it up for themselves. They want an independence. They're willing to sell anything. They're willing to give up anything so they can be independent. They want to do their own thing. They're doing it for money, obviously. They're doing it for success. A lot of people want to do it because they want to have enough for retirement. I know some people that have made good money and put most of their money down on their house for all these years, never had any cash, any money to do stuff with their family, to take care of their family properly. But the house was paid for earlier, and they've lost the whole family. But the house is paid for, or will soon be paid for. That's terrible. They will sell themselves, they'll sell their country, they'll sell their children, they'll sell their family, they'll sell their soul, as Jesus talks about it, for happiness. Just for happiness. Not a joy, but a happiness. They'll sell that for a temporary comfort. They'll do anything they can, they'll sell anything they can to have a worldly peace and a family peace. They'll throw out an awful lot of, they'll throw out what Jesus says, the risen Christ says, so they can have family peace for now. And we don't have to go to Mark 8 for that, because that's what Jesus says, to sell their soul. Why, what, sell their soul for the world? Why do you lose their soul and gain the world? He does tell that to the Jews, but Paul also tells it to us in 2 Timothy, much more detail. Much more detail. And the result of this taking place in our country today, in our churches and things, we have... I grabbed the pen without any lid. We have apostasy. We have temptations. We have the snare of the devil. People are caught up in the snare of the devil. They try to get out, but they hardly can get out anymore. Most of the Christians even want them to stay in there. Well, don't cause any trouble. I mean, come on. No, you need to get out of the snare if you realize it. It's leading people into foolish and hurtful lust. This is what Paul tells us. You got one? Okay. Foolish and hurtful lust. He says, which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Almost.
If you didn't know it was coming, what was that? It causes us to err from the faith. He says, it causes us to pierce ourselves through with many sorrows. And if we don't have sorrows now, we're getting ourselves ready for them. All because of the love of money. And I said there's only two things that have brought about ungodliness in America. One is the love of money and wrongly dividing. Because it says increase unto ungodliness. The only two things I've seen in that Bible that boils down to those two things. And the point is this morning is we are told through Paul to trust in a living God. God is alive and He is there for us, and He will teach us what He wants to teach us. And yet we learned in the last couple of weeks again that it's still all about Him, but He's there. It seems like more and more Christians are turning to worldly traditions. They're turning to philosophies and vain deceit. See, Paul warns about that too. And the tradition of men. Rudiments of the world, he says. And he says, not after Christ. You go to Ephesians chapter 4, we see where the fact that our hearts are blinded. Devil blinds the mind, but we can also, as a Christian, have our heart blinded by not seeking what Christ says. Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 20. So my question this morning is how can we please God? My second question is, do you want to? Now let's go to Job 21. And let's look this morning at how to please God. Why do we want to look this morning at how to please God? Because Christ did something that is absolutely spectacular that I don't think hardly any Christians know about it. You've heard it, but you're going to hear it again. This is what people are not taught in churches. Remember where Paul says to Timothy, that my ways need to be taught in every church. That's what Paul says. His ways, not his words, but his ways. A way is the way of life. Paul wants what the risen Christ taught to Paul. He wants that taught in every church. That's what he said. So Job chapter 21, I hope this isn't us, verse 14, because this is a description of the wicked. Therefore they say unto God. Isn't that amazing? And these are considered the wicked people in Job's day, but they still say unto God. So that's why I'm going to put this on us Christians. Do we ever say unto God? And Paul would call him the unknown God, because if we don't know about God, we're worshiping an unknown God when we sing and we pray and we preach. And if we don't know what we're talking about God, then we're actually doing what the people at Mars Hill were preached at. He says, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto Him? In other words, what will God do for me? But we're going to turn the table this morning. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to turn the tables. We're going to ask ourselves, what can we do for Him? And one of the things I think that we can do for Him is to tell people what He did for us. That is absolutely unspoken of, unheard of, untaught, unmentioned. And to me, it's the greatest thing that He's done for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, we don't stop there, because that would be Calvinistic if we did. What is from the foundation of the world? That we should be holy and without blame. That's what was started at the very beginning. God is a holy God. He needs to have His people be holy without blame, and then He can have us around. That's from the beginning. So then you tell your little kids, well, this is how it started. Adam and Eve. Well, the devil blew it. Adam and Eve blew it. You go through those years right after that, we have a conscience. And that blew it. We got into violence, etc. So the days of Noah, and days of all that kind of thing. Then you get into Noah. Then you get into Moses, and you got the commandments. What were the commandments? To tell us how to live holy. Not tell the Jews how to live holy. Then you got Jesus Christ coming down, which is God manifest in the flesh. He says, okay, I'll come down there and I'll do it myself. And He walked the holy walk, which is what it had to be. Then He says, by the way, if you accept Me as your Messiah, you follow Me, I'll show you how to walk a holy walk. Well, they didn't. They killed Him instead. And he was such the kind of God that He said, okay, listen, Peter, go back and tell them, I'll still come back and I'll still be their Messiah, even though they killed Me. Tell them to repent and be baptized and da-da-da-da. And here's the standard of the church. Here's the Great Commission. You guys go out there and you take that out there and you tell them about it. They're going to get Me through the Jews, through you, the seed of Abraham. Okay, well, they kill the preacher. That happens to preachers all the time. Kill Stephen. God says, okay, I'm going to go to the world's worst guy, the chiefest of sinners, the guy that was killing Christians and persecuting Christians. He was holding the coats of those guys that stoned Stephen to death. I'm going to go to that guy. He's going to go out there and he's going to be my apostle to the Gentiles. He took a killer, and it wasn't Paul's choice, and he went to the people that the Jews hated, dogs, and he gave them everything, and he gave them something. He gave them something, which is us. If all they had to do is put their faith and trust in him. That's all they had to do. So there is a different message from the Gospels to the Great Commission to Paul. And people are told today that you're saved. It's like they think there's just a little check mark by their name and that makes them a Christian. God now looks at them as a Christian because they put faith and trust in me. So, ding, they're a Christian. Oh, they did something wrong. No longer a Christian. Oh, they confessed up. Okay, now they're a Christian. Oh, look at that. They did it wrong again. Now they're not in my... Oh, they got it right again. Ah, but they missed one. They missed one. He doesn't know it. How am I going to tell them that? The guy's going to die and go to hell because he didn't get all of them confessed. And that's the concept people have about their salvation. So, I'll show you what I believe to be the... I'm as excited about it the last week as I was about anything. If we really stop and think about it. And if we're going to please God today, I think this is one of the things we can tell people. Now, let me ask you this. If you're going to try to please God, will you build an ark? Will that please Him? Well, we know better than that. I got a list here for you. It's kind of fun looking these things up. Would this please God today? Not wear a garment of diverse sorts as of woolen and linen together. Now, if I got this right, mixing wool and linen will not please God. Is that so? There you go. Is that going to please God if you don't mix that stuff? You got mixed material? How about this one? Take a 1-year honeymoon when first married. No war, no job, no nothing. It says keep your wife happy. For 1 year. That would please God. Would that please God today? Those are in Deuteronomy. When they got married, as such, take a wife. 1 year, no job, no nothing. Hang around the tent and make her happy. A year? I'm sure that's possible. Of course, you got to get a new tent every couple of weeks. Got to paint the tent, and I guess that's why you got to hang around for a year. You know, keep the camel clean and all this kind of stuff. You just make her happy for 1 year. Probably got anyway. Deuteronomy also says not to glean your fields after you're done harvesting. Say that for those people that... Does that please God? Is that some of the stuff we can do to please God? How about we keep going here? Obey all the Ten Commandments? Would that please God if you obeyed all the Ten Commandments today? Come on, we're in Seventh-day Adventist country. If we obeyed all Ten Commandments, would that please God? No, there's one that Paul never talks about. He says that remember the Sabbath day is done. So... Tell that to somebody. How about being a peacemaker? Loving everybody. Make peace, not war. Does that please God today? Be sure to go out and make sure that you're reviled, persecuted, and then say all the manner of evil against you. Make everybody mad at you. Is that going to please God to go out there and make somebody mad at you? Pluck out your eye when you look at something you shouldn't have seen. Oh, I shouldn't have seen that. Ever had a guy with a glass eye and want to do... I'm only kidding. You know, or cut off your hand because it touched something it shouldn't have touched or did something. How about keeping the commandments that Jesus taught and His sayings in Gospels? Would that please God today? Would it please God if you made an effort in your life to go out into the world or at least pay someone a few bucks to do it for you and preach the Gospel to every creature? Okay, well, let me ask, preach what? Well, the Gospel. That he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what it says. Okay? And don't forget, if you're going to do that, you've got to also tell them that you'll be able to cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, drink poison, and lay hands on the sick. You'll be able to do that. So if we want to preach that today, would that make God happy? Would it make God happy if we believe that gain is godliness? We start getting some more people. We got over 100 people out there that read and watch this stuff all the time. Does that mean, oh, then I guess we are right? How many people are involved in the secret? How about if we teach the apostles' doctrine? Would that make God happy today? Does that please God today? How about if we tell people that they need to live in constant fear that God will destroy you, He'll destroy your home, He'll destroy your business, He can destroy your health, He could take the Lord's Supper wrongly and He could make you sick, He can kill you. Would that make God happy if we told that to people today? What about our desire to seek favor with everybody in this town? I just wish we could get everybody. Let's just do whatever we can to get everybody to come in here. Would that please Him? What if you got baptized? I'm going to make God happy. I'm going to get baptized again. How about if you partake of the Lord's Supper? Does that please God? Have you ever taken part of the Lord's Supper and not been worthy? You were grumpy, you were crabby, you were late. The pastor didn't let you pray long enough. Ever had that one? Let's all, in a moment of prayer, let's all confess our sins and let's get right with God. I got 45 minutes to an hour minimum. And a couple of seconds, he's done. Wait a minute. I'm not ready. I can't do this. I've done this. I've thought this. I'm not mocking it. I've thought that before. I go, okay, Lord, cover all the rest. And all that kind of stuff. Does believing that Jesus is the Son of God, does that please God today? If we believe that He's the Messiah, He's the Savior of the world, if that's what we believe, does that please Him today? How about preaching the everlasting gospel? Would that please God if we preached the everlasting gospel? How about it when we pray in His name and we say it? In Jesus' name, I pray that we get this car. I need a car. God bless Uncle Henry. In Jesus' name. Does it please God if we go out of our way and never have anything with the number 666 on it? Does that please God if we say, oh no, I'm not taking that number. Give me 667, 665, but not that one. Can I say I've been there and done that? Ever been there and done that? How about credit cards? You got a credit card? Oh, those are of the devil, you know. Yeah, but I can't rent a car without one. That car's of the devil too. And where you're going is of the devil. What about electricity? Do you use electricity in your home? Should you? Does it please God if you don't? I remember, you remember this, we were in Pennsylvania, drove through an Amish town at night. Boy, you can hardly tell you're in a town. A couple little candles in the window, that was the neatest thing to me. But I'll tell you what, when I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm trying to find my glasses, and I got to find a match and a candle first. I'll burn the house down before I find my glasses. I got to have the quick switch. Okay, there they are. Okay, turn off again. Sometimes I do that. I'm laying in bed. I don't remember where I put them. And instantly, light, because the light is right here. Hit the switch. There they are. Switch goes off. Would that please God if we get rid of this electricity? What if we get rid of our telephones? Cell phones. Is it in there? No, it's not. Get that feeling that it's up there. Would that please God if I got rid of that stuff? Does it please Him if we just listen to any kinds of music, just make sure it says it's Christian. Just make sure it says it's Christian. From a Christian publisher and all that stuff. Does that please God? How about does it please God if we try to imitate Jesus' life? Would that please God today? How about if we just realize that we have the liberty in Christ because we know all things are lawful? Don't we know that? All things are lawful. Stop right there. Don't think that's cool. But would that please God if we just lived a life freely? Smiling. What would it please God if we actually tried to stop sinning? Well, I don't know. Is that something you can do? Is that something you should try to stop doing? Yeah. Does it please Him? Is there ever an issue between you and Him and He gets unhappy so He departs the fellowship because you're still sinning? Do you ever lose fellowship with God because you're sinning now? Or how about this? Can you please God because you know what's going to please God, so you make your own list? Here's what I'm going to be as a Christian. Okay. Oh, those are all silly. But there's people that try to do all those things and they think that pleases God. Look at Romans chapter 8. Let me ask you this as we get started here. That was just a long introduction. Real long. Romans chapter 8. Can you please God? Is it even possible for you to please God? I was taught for years Well, I was excited about my Bible, about King James Bible and all these kind of things I was learning, but I was taught that, listen, we really can't please God, so let's not really try. Let's not get into it and try. And I know the pastors that taught me that. And I know that the deacony guys and the Bible teachers that taught me that. See, they taught me that by example. I remember looking at their yard. I remember looking at their house and their home and the way they talked to their children and the way they behaved and the way they treated the family and the way they carried themselves about and how they looked. And you would kind of hint something along the line and say, well, hey, it doesn't matter to God. Because see, we're spiritual beings now and the physical means nothing to God. So, lousy physical testimonies to people in this world. Well, that's okay though because it really isn't that big a deal. God, that kind of stuff can't please God. I see in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, it says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So an unsaved person, because we know what that means to be in the flesh, means you haven't had your soul and your spirit cut away from your flesh, so you're in your flesh, and Paul teaches that. So if we're not saved, we can't please God. I mean, I don't care what you do, you can go back to Paul's in Thessalonians and Titus, and you can do all that stuff to the letter, to the T, and that won't please God because it can't please God because your good works, we've got sin attached, and that's not going to happen. Well, that's not us here this morning. Because it says in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If you're saved, you're not in the flesh. So we got all these people saying, well, you do it. You play the music in the flesh. I did. I didn't know that. You might have played it fleshy. You might have played it in a fleshy style. But if you're saved, you're not in your flesh. That's a serious thing to understand. So if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I mean, you've either got him or you don't. Nobody can come up to you and say, well, I see that you say you're a Christian. Have you received the Spirit of God? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Remember when somebody asked me that? And I thought, well, I've never been asked that before, but I think I have. Then you can start speaking in tongues. Well, I mumble and I talk too fast. Is that speaking in tongues? To some people it is. But that's not. We find it in Acts chapter 2, what that is. I had to study 4 years to be able to say Guten Tag. No spirit gave me that. That's what speaking in tongues was. So what are you getting at here? Well, I'm getting at this. Can you please God? Are you in a position to please God? If you're saved, yes, you are now. Now you can. Now, if we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I'll ask you this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'll ask you this. Will you? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 talks about that we're His workmanship. We read that this morning. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And those good works have been ordained from the beginning. Now that we're saved, now that we're not in our flesh, we can do those things now. What things? We'll get to those in a minute. What are those things? Will you, if now that you can? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Well, have you been taught how to? We've been here for 13 years. 10 of it or 9 of it's been preaching Paul. Little by little by little. Since 2003, we really got into it. And Clarence has been with us ever since. Thought I'd say that for Clarence. Straight away for a couple months and check out his church thing. Got back to us again because he said, I'm tired of hearing about that. I'm not a child of God because I don't give enough money for our new building. Got tired of that stuff. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Have you been taught how to please God? It says right here, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. It's been taught. It's in the Paul books. So ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Now, did He give us the 10? Did He give us the 9? Or what did this risen Jesus tell Paul and his people to tell us? It's down in that Bible. Do we know those things? We have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. Do you know how to please God today? That's why I say build an ark, et cetera, et cetera. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's skip 17, 18, and 19. Let's go down to 20 and 21. The conclusion to that little series of verses that really has a lot to do with music too. Ephesians 4:20 says this, but ye have not so learned Christ. That's all the stuff above that. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, have we heard from Christ? Have we heard from Jesus? What does He say here? You have not learned Christ. Remember, Paul talks about Jesus as the Christ. Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the Gospels talk about, most of the time, talks about Jesus. Jesus. And Jesus. There's a whole lot more Christ mentioned with Paul than there is in the Gospels. And look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Then it goes on and tells us some things we ought to do. But see, we've heard that from Christ. Paul has heard from the risen Christ. Galatians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians, the last chapter. Is that 15, 11, 14, 15? Paul's heard from Christ face to face. And Christ even told Paul in Acts 26, when he's talking to Agrippa, kind of giving his testimony, he says, listen, this Jesus Christ that I persecuted, he told me that he was going to tell me things to come, and that's what you're going to preach. And so Jesus had to tell Paul stuff. Okay? So we read our King James Bible. Are we hearing from the risen Christ? If you are, you'll learn how to please God. That's what they're saying. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, I'm assuming that we believe that this Bible is the Word of God, because otherwise we have no discussion for you this morning, because it's your opinion against mine. I believe this Bible. A lot of people out there believe that the church teachings are what are from God. Some people find different Bibles and different pastors and different teachers that teach whatever they want. Now, this thing has outlived them all, but I'll stick with this one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Are you ashamed of the testimony of the Lord? What's his testimony? Well, his testimony was that he was the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. He's been around from the beginning. He created everything. He came down and came down on the earth and walked the walk to his people, would be the Messiah. They killed him, and he said he'd come back again. They wouldn't want him. They killed the preacher. He went up and he sent the comfort to everybody, and then they didn't want any of that kind of stuff. And so they went to, this Jesus Christ went to Paul. And when he's done with the Gentiles and done with all this stuff, it's going to be, it's got the tribulation coming up. He's going to come back. He's going to rule the place. That's the testimony of our Lord. It's not just he died and rose again. There's a lot more about Jesus that people should be telling people. So that's very important. I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed of that? I'm not ashamed of that. But it also says, nor of me, his prisoner. I am not ashamed of Paul. I've learned about Paul as a person. We've studied his life in Acts 9 through 28, I think it is. We studied his life. Then we studied his teachings. It's marvelous stuff. I'm not ashamed of telling people, well, I'm trying to follow Paul. What do you mean follow Paul? Is he your Savior? No. I'm following the risen Christ through Paul. Matter of fact, I'm following the risen Christ past Peter, right, with Paul. Because Peter was going to tell the Jews about the risen Christ. He was the apostle to the circumcision. Paul says he was the apostle to the uncircumcision. Paul's message was different. Repent and be baptized. Paul's message is different than what Peter preached. Yeah, but Peter's after Paul. Well, sure, because they were about ready to kick right into the tribulation, because if they would have accepted the Messiah as the Messiah, they'd have had to go into the tribulation because they did kill him. So God still had to spank the Jews. So they're going right into the tribulation, but whoa, wait a minute, down comes the dispensation of grace. Romans to Philemon. That's why when you're done with the dispensation of grace, Romans to Philemon, you go right back to Hebrews, to the Jews, James, to the Jews, 1st and 2nd Peter, to the Jews, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, to the Jews, Jude, to the Jews. Because that would have all kicked in, but he burped in Paul. Remember the sermon, the pause that refreshes. That was one of my first, that I just spent a half hour going through all the names of all the Coca-Cola signs for the pause that refreshes, and went through all their what do they call those things? Jingles and all that stuff. I kind of had more fun with that than anything. It's a marvelous thing. I'm not ashamed of Paul. And I don't have to go to Peter to teach Paul. Matter of fact, Peter says, Paul was even kind of confusing to them a little bit, the last chapter of 2 Peter. So those are tribulational books. Well, duh, they're after Paul. It makes total sense. So anyway, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Paul, of his prisoner. But then it says, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Bummer. You would think that people would want to know what it is that the risen Christ has taught us to teach to our children. It's marvelous. It's absolutely marvelous. Look at Titus chapter 1, just over a page or two. The thing I'm going to tell us this morning, I'm going to remind some of us and tell some of us for the first time, this is an absolutely spectacular thing that Christ did. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Unfortunately, we have a lot of this.
We have people that profess that they know God. They profess that they know God. But in works, they deny Him. Really? Yeah.
That long list of things I read about pleasing God, there's people that do all those things. And they think that's pleasing God. I imagine some of them probably are saved. Paul tells us, we don't know anybody else's heart, so back off. But if somebody is a Christian and they think they're doing these things to please God, I'm sorry, but their preacher's been lying to them. Remember, Paul says, deceiving and being deceived. Doesn't mean they're doing it on purpose. And I'm not blasting the people other than I wish to get a hold of this Bible, right, to divide that thing. And I'll be able to say it this way. They won't be lying to them, but they'll quit telling them lies. Does that sound better? That sounds better. I'm softening up as I get older. A little bit. So, are we in that boat? Do we know God? But our works don't tell people we do? Well, I mean, I could stop right there and make you all mad. Look at your music. Look at your videos. Look at what you do for church time. Look what you do for Bible study. No, I don't have time for Bible. Well, okay, but are our works denying to our children that we know God? Do your kids see you reading your Bible? Well, I don't have really time. I'll let the preacher do that to me. Instead. Well, see, that proves that you don't know God to them. That's why kids take off. I believe that's why kids take off. They don't see us living what we say. So we know God, but our works deny Him. And the works that we should do that do not deny God would be what Paul teaches us to do. Right? Look over two pages. Go to the left a couple pages. Philippians chapter 4. Isn't that what he says? Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Not the peace of God, but the God of peace. Salvation doesn't come because of Paul. Salvation comes because of the risen Christ. And we hear about that through Paul. Through his books. Okay. So, it's amazing stuff. Let's look at Romans chapter 2. Now, here's kind of my introduction to the body, which won't take very long, by the way, because it's a very short body of a message. Romans chapter 2. If you want to please God, Paul, his guys will teach us in the King James Bible, rightly divided. And if we don't want to deny God by our works, then God needs to be talked about the way God wants to be talked about and shown. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Here's what does not go on in our churches today. Even the Bible guys. They do not preach the goodness and the forbearance and the long-suffering of God. Look at that. Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? And if I were to take an average Joe Blow, Jane Blow Christian and say, I want you to write me down five things that Jesus Christ has done, I'll bet the risen Christ. Give me five things. I bet you they couldn't do it. Well, he saved me. Okay, there's one. Well, he loves me. Okay, there's two. Another one? Well, isn't too good enough? He saved. How do you know He saved you? I mean, Paul warns about another Jesus. You've heard me say that. Well, I just know. Well, you don't just know. When you're in a deathbed, you're going to want to know more than just know. So, well, okay, I can't go by that one. Okay. Oh, yeah, He washed my sins away with His blood. Okay, I know He did that. Well, there's three. He forgave me. There's four. Did He forgive all of them? Well, I don't know about that. Okay, there's four and a half. You know, that kind of a thing. Can you tell somebody what God has done? What are some of the riches of His goodness? What are they? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Just think about it. In all these years, what have you heard mostly? God will get you if you don't get right. But here's what I read the other day. We'll talk about it tonight a little bit. Is your heart right with God? We sung that thing. Rex has sung that thing, "Is your heart right with God?" And we're crying and coming to the altar and the whole spiel. And that's Acts chapter, I think it's Acts chapter 2 or 3. Can your heart go bad with God if you're truly saved? What does Paul say about that? That's what you got to ask. What does Paul say about that? Can your heart go bad with God? Can you quit? Well, sure you can quit. He warns it all the time. Seducing spirits, you can depart from the faith. You can quit. But who doesn't quit? Christ doesn't quit. He can't quit. The Spirit of God wants to quit, but it can't. So it gets quenched. It gets grieved. He wants to go because in the past he would. He would leave. But he can't leave. So we go to these places and we do these things and we watch these things and we go to and all this kind of stuff we do. And somewhere in us is going like, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be here. Let's go have a good time. Okay, but something's not right about this kind of thing. That's the Spirit of God. They're going, I don't want to be here. I don't want to listen to what you're listening to. I don't want to have to be put in front of what you're seeing. Back in the Old Testament days and gospel, I would take off. I'd gone. Now we can't do that. So what are those things that we can do to please God? Will you do that? You're ordained to do those things. You've been taught how to do those things. We've been taught by the risen Christ through Paul. Are we embarrassed? Are we ashamed of Paul? And do we profess that we know God, but we don't show that in our works? I'll tell you what, doing a fair booth, and near as I can tell, I think we're done. I just think we're done. Sitting in that fair booth, and all these people are Christians, you can't know by looking at them. You just can't know by looking at them. I'm not judging people's hearts, but I'll tell you what, there's something that's not right. Is it just by how we appear? No, it's also by what we do. That I won't get into that. Get off on the bunny trail there. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. Okay, so now we got an issue here. We want to do something. What is it that Paul would have us do? Why don't you just say, what would Jesus have us do? Well, because that's Jesus isn't talking to us. The risen Christ is talking to us through Paul. So really, if you get that bracelet thing, what would Jesus? How's that go? What would Jesus have you? What would Jesus do? Really, you know what you ought to have? Have a bracelet that says, what would Paul tell you to do? That's really what we ought to have. It's parentheses, RC, the risen Christ. Tell Paul to tell us what to do. What would he have us do? Somebody said the other day, I forgot what it was. Somebody asked Jesus, what do you want me to do here? Or whatever. He would say, go ask Paul. Because I told him what to tell you. Kind of a thing. Just keep that in mind a little bit. We'll look at Acts 26, verse 18. Now look at verse 16. This is where Paul is giving his testimony. But rise and stand upon my feet. This is what Jesus told him. And for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Took him away from everybody. Now go preach to the Gentiles. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And then it goes on. That's a change. We talked about that. The risen Christ wants us to change our life. He changed our soul, gave us His Spirit. Now He wants us to change our life. It's as simple as that. And I guess I can say this. We talked about this last night quite a while. I think he was awake for probably half of it. When his eyes start to go down, you know you might as well talk about cars or something, because it's just, you're not getting me. What is it, and this is the word he used, he's in the speech stuff right now, motivates a Christian to want to please God? What's a good motivator? What would be a good motivator to get people to please God? And I'm sitting there thinking, well, he's just walking into a trap. This is marvelous. And then he said the word, we need to change. I need to, as an associate down there, I want to help these people change their lives. Change, change, ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. That's what Paul is all about. Is changing their lives. Jesus changes us. And in the gospel days, he didn't even change them. They just had to follow him. Totally different. Today, the risen Christ makes a change. And then he asks us to change our lives. What's the motivator? Okay, here we go. This is where it's the blank spot in my notes now. And we're into this thing 40 minutes. So, yeah. When they saw you walk in the door, they said, oh, this will be a long one. Yeah, but Jimmy can't. He hasn't heard this stuff either for a while here. Let's go here. Let's make it quick. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to get on that bunny trail from last week. Remember the bunny trail about the advocate thing? We're on that trail today. This will be quick, really. The introduction's done. I got a little conclusion. I better save the conclusion, though. Is that how you do it? Introduction, body, conclusion? Right? I know some of this stuff. Okay, look at Romans chapter 3. Here we go. We know that the world was told to keep a law. Jews, Gentiles, Jews are there, the whole thing. The law had to be kept. Paul gets into this thing and he tells people, listen, there is none that doeth good. None. Why is that? Well, because when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. This is what Paul talks about here. Paul says a couple of places, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Classic verse to memorize. Paul says in Romans 7, I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul says one of my favorite chocolate verses, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. This is Paul. So, we look to Paul for our example? No, our end sample. Let's learn from him, but let's not try to copy him. Let's not try to imitate Paul, which the Bible, which modern Bibles say also to imitate Paul. So we know that nobody could keep the law. It's not going to happen. I mean, he created them just fine and dandy down in the garden. Don't go there. Okay, messed up. Gave them the law, Ten Commandments. They messed up. And he punished them. Boy, he wailed on them for years and whipped them out there in the desert. So I'll make you pay. And then it didn't work and all that kind of stuff. So he's going to come down and he's going to walk the law. He fulfilled the law. That's good. So what's the point of it? Look at Galatians chapter 3. So we have this law thing that tells us, here's how you're going to please God. Walk the law. Be holy. That was the way it was designed from the foundation of this world, that we have to be holy and without blame. We see in Galatians 3:23 that there is, 3:22, there still is a purpose for the law. Well, yeah. How are you going to know if you're speeding if there's not a speed limit sign up there? Why do I keep using speed for my example? Just, I don't do that anymore. I really don't. Galatians 3:23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up until the faith which would afterwards be revealed. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Okay, so that's good. The law had to come to show us that the sin that's in us, because when we were little, we had, like Chloe or the little babies here, stuff, they don't have, God's not holding them accountable for anything. We might, but God doesn't. Look at Romans chapter 7. Just back a little, Romans chapter 7. This is an intro within an intro of the body to get to the final point. I'm not sure that's in your manual to do that way. Romans 7 times 17. Romans 7 verse 17. Now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So there's the problem we have here. There's things that we shouldn't be doing, we're going to do. And God knows that. He's been through the whole thing himself, and he didn't do it, but he was tempted. Temptations were there. The devil came and tempted himself. But Christ did something that is absolutely the goodness of God to the max. Look at Romans chapter 7. Go to verse 4. I don't think that's the right verse, though. That's not the right. Yeah, it's okay. There we go. For those that are slow, and I'm talking too fast, this is now the conclusion of the body. Ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. We're dead to the law. Now, how can that be? Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 4. This is what people are not being told in their churches. They're told that Jesus saves them. They're told they need to be born again. they need to do this, they need to do that, and their life will change now because you're going to do what Jesus teaches you to do, and when you don't do it, you need to confess up or God will get you. Or the guy gets up and says, here's what the Bible says we should do and should not do. And there's no motivation there. And I know that. There's no motivation. There was no motivation for me other than I was a staff member and I needed to get paid. And by the way, my first couple of years, I made $666.01. I asked Nick to give me that 1 cent. I didn't want the 666 thing. See, I've been there, done that. Look at Romans chapter 10, 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's the end of the law for righteousness. It's done. He took the speed limit signs down. He took away all the things that we can't do. How did he do that? Did he just? No, he walked it and he fulfilled the law and he died because of it, but he didn't do anything wrong. He took that sin, our sin, upon him and gave us that fulfilled walk. So what did he do? He got rid of the law. Colossians says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. Now, that's it. That's basically it. Isn't that neat? Now, let me ask you that advocate question, because that's the thing that really clicked with me. And the question is asked, look at 1 John chapter 2, do we need Jesus as our advocate today? Because we still do something wrong. There's still sin that's in us. Now, wait a minute. Now, we're not the one sinning. He says it's the sin that dwelleth in me that's doing wrong here. And we are choosing in Romans chapter 5, 6, and 7, we are choosing to follow sin. That's our choice now. So, does that make me a sinner? Remember one of the first messages I did a long time ago that really shook everybody up was the fact that we're no longer a sinner. We are no longer a sinner? So you have stopped sinning? I didn't say that. I said we are no longer a sinner in God's eyes. I know they see Jesus when he looks at us, he sees Jesus, and so he doesn't see the sin. No, that's just hokey pokey. That's just not what it is. Christ did something. He fulfilled the law, and then that law was taken away. It still exists to show people they need Christ. It's still there. The Old Testament's still there. The Gospels are still there. We need to read all those things, and it's all there for us, for admonition, for learning. But as far as our motivation, we have to realize that Christ has taken care of the law. We're dead to the law. It's not an issue. There is no law to make us a sinner. There's still sin in there, and it's still sinning, and we choose to follow it. But I'm not being accused of anything because there's no law there to accuse me of it. So if I'm not being accused of anything, I can't do anything wrong because there's nothing wrong to do. Well, then I can just go out and sin? No, God forbid, Paul says. Matter of fact, he tells us about this absolutely marvelous liberty that we have. He says, do you know that all things are lawful now? Really? Is it because all things become good? No, not at all. It's just that he fulfilled the law, and then he took it. Took it to hell, went to go to hell. People don't even believe that anymore. Came back without it. Took our sins on and came back without sin. The law is not an issue. We don't have any law to make us a sinner. I mean, that's what he says. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So, we're looking at 1 John chapter 2 because it says this. Well, Pastor, it says right here, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Well, first of all, this is 1 John. This is to the Jews during the tribulation. They better not sin. And they will sin when they do something wrong. And they will have the Spirit of God upon their flesh, Acts chapter 2, in order for them to not sin. See, we have the Spirit of God in us, not upon us. So we have the Spirit of God in us to keep us clean on the inside. Our flesh is still filthy. Okay? So during the tribulation, when they have to actually walk the walk, their flesh will have to walk the walk properly. So God says, listen, I'm going to expect you one more time to walk that walk, the holy walk, and I'm going to put my Spirit upon you so you can actually do it. Otherwise, we never could do it. That's how they're going to get through the tribulation. They're going to walk with the Spirit of God upon them. Acts chapter 2. Peter talks about that. That's a prophecy of Joel. That's not today. Okay, so if that's not even written to us anyway, case closed. We don't need an advocate. But let's explain it anyway. That's the simple way to go about it. That's not written to me. There's no other place that says, well, why don't you need an advocate? Well, it's very simple. We have no law to show that we need an advocate. If there's no law, you don't need a lawyer. Because you can't be accused of anything. Now, we may find that hard to believe, but that's what the Scriptures say. That's what He did with the law. That's why when He came down, what did He do? Well, He walked on this earth and then they killed Him. He didn't sin or anything like that. So they killed Him. He went on, and now if we just put our faith and trust in Him, He'll make us Christians. No, He actually did something. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled what had to be walked. And then He gives us that fulfilled walk to our credit, to our imputed status as such. And there is no law now. And so we can't even be labeled as a sinner. There's still sin in there and it's still sinning. No doubt. But our record is clear. What if we choose to follow that sin and do something? What are doing? Doings are works. Where are our works going to be judged? Judgment seat of Christ. Plain and simple. And Paul is our master builder. Paul will teach us how to build upon this marvelous foundation of a sinless life that Christ has imputed to us. So Jesus is our foundation. Of course He is. The risen Christ is our foundation. Now we're going to build on that foundation and we're going to build what Paul teaches. He's our master builder. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So when He does that, and we do things that Paul didn't teach us to do from the risen Christ, that'll burn in the judgment seat. That's what He says. Amen? That's what it says. But we won't be burned. Why not? Because we have no sin. Why will those people be burned in the white stone judgment? Because their works still have sin. They're still attached to their sin. Still attached to their flesh. They're still in the flesh, so they can't please God. So when the time comes, they'll be judged by works because we're all judged by our deeds, and those deeds have sin. Our deeds have no sin. We don't need a lawyer. That's just a marvelous thing. So here we are, we put grief on everybody. Pastors put the grief on people, and I can just picture God going, wait a minute, preacher. That isn't what I told these people. That isn't what I told you to tell them. Tell them I have cleared their slate. I have walked the walk. I mean, I went through all that I went through. Didn't you read the Gospels? And I did all that. And now that I've risen and I've talked to Paul, he will tell you all about what I've done for you. And you're not telling them that. Why aren't you telling them that? Well, I want them to keep coming to church. I got to guilt them a little bit. And I got to put a little grief on them. And I need them to keep coming. I need to have an altar call because that's numbers. It looks like people are spiritual then. And we need to have more people coming to this church. So I got to scare them into thinking that, well, God's going to get you folks. Don't you see it happening? I mean, the economy's down. The prices are horrible. Gas is terrible. Obama's going to win. McCain, who cares who's going to win? They're all horrible. And the country's losing this economic thing. And, well, God's just putting judgment on us. Didn't we have a little windstorm down south? Another one over here in Texas. And we got a couple earthquakes just waiting. And a couple of volcanoes have burped a little bit. And, well, I tell you, God's judgment is just, He's just ready to clamp down. And, boy, you better get yourself saved and ask Jesus into your heart. And the devil's going, this is working so good. And these guys have all got Bibles. I tried to take the Bibles away, but it didn't work. I just gave them some different ones, and the whole thing's working just beautifully. I'm just getting ready to go. He's kicking his motorcycle thing, just getting ready to come down. He's going to be there. He is. And people who looked at all these images of Jesus in all these years, since 1947, I think it is, and they know what the Jesus looks like. No, they know what the Antichrist looks like. So when he shows up, ta-da, there he is. It's just falling into place. And the Lord says, listen, while you're down there, tell people I've taken care of the law. I'm not even imputing. There's nothing there. You're done with that thing. We don't need an advocate. But they'll need him during the tribulation. Look at Romans 6:22. I think we read our Bibles too fast. We got to get our 10 pages in or something. And maybe that's a good start for somebody, but boy, we got to slow down to see some things. Romans 6:22, which is before 6:23. We all memorized 6:23, but somehow we missed 22. But now, being made free from sin
It doesn't say sinning. It says made free from sin. That's pretty good. That's excellent. That's marvelous. And doesn't that kind of tie in with the fact that if we would tell people about the goodness of God, it would lead people to repentance? The goodness of God. But they don't want to tell them that. Oh, we'll save that. Now, end of the body, to the conclusion. I have to do this because he's trained in the speech thing. When do we get this stuff? Look at Romans chapter 1. You know what the problem here is with us? I'm not just talking about everybody. I'm talking about us too, myself included. We're so busy, doubted, you've heard all that kind of stuff, but there's something else I'm afraid that we are. I think a lot of it is because we don't register what Christ really did for us regarding the law. There's other things He's done. I got a 3-page tract on it that Paul teaches about what the risen Christ has done for us and to us. A bunch of things there. But I think, to me, one of the most marvelous things that you can... I don't know how He did it, but He did it. The mystery of Christ there. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. We're just not thankful for what God has done. Because most of the time we don't know what He has done. I believe here we know a lot of things that He's done. I believe that we have taught Paul here quite a bit and we know what God has done. I believe that. So what's the problem after that? Well, the problem after that is that we're not thankful. Neither were thankful. So if a person is not thankful for what God, who is God, has done, it says they become vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. I think that's what's happening to Christian after Christian after Christian, if they're Christians in the first place. They don't believe that God would do such a thing. They don't understand that how God would do such a thing. For one thing, they've never been taught that God did such a thing. And if we learn what the risen Christ has done through Paul, we have to see that He is totally God. He didn't just check our name off and say we're saved. Now, a man would do it that way, but God doesn't do it that way. God actually paid the price. So He takes care of the law. The law is not there to impute us any sin anymore. Well, what about the payment of that sin that's been... Well, it was still paid. God never just ignores the sin from here on out. Next time we do something we should do, we're following the sin that our body wants to do. We need to remember that, well, you know what? All things are lawful. The only reason all things are lawful is because He paid the price, not so we could do this, but because we wouldn't be accused of doing that. Took away the law that makes that wrong. So now it's no longer wrong in God's eyes. Does that make sense? That could be really misconstrued too. It's still sin, but it's not imputed to us. So there's no law. So let's go back to all things are lawful. Well, what are the strings attached to that thing? Well, what are they? I'll see if I can do this. They must be edified. I better back me up, though. I got to learn Galatians. I better back this up. I hate to not know what I'm talking about. Right there. That's a look. The strings that are attached. All things are lawful. But we have to remember, He made all things lawful so we can learn to walk. We can learn to please God. It isn't so we can do these things. He made things... All things are lawful, so as we're trying to learn how to walk, we won't have to get spanked when we trip. When you're teaching your little girl how to walk, do you have a huge step? Here's a step process now, Chloe. Here's what you have to do. When you don't do this, I'll teach you how to walk, you know, but if you don't know how to do this, poof, smack on that old thick diaper there. We don't do that. We didn't do that, by the way. Well, we had her. We don't have any law to put on her because she's going to learn how to walk. So she falls down. Well, you know, after a while, she's going to get tired of falling down, hopefully. She'll hit her head once or twice. I need to stay away from those tables. Wow. I need to stay away from that old guy because every time he picks me up, he holds me still and I fall asleep. I got to watch for that stuff. She learns that sort of a thing. But there's no... I'm not going to spank her. She doesn't know that this is how you have to walk. She took a few couple steps. Wow, that's pretty neat. Okay, come here. Let's go running. And Grandpa's always like, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Down they go. And there's no point in getting mad. They're just learning to walk.
As Christians, we get the risen Christ as our Savior. We read from Paul what it is that we should do to please God. And we're not going to do a very good job at the beginning. A rocker guitar player is going to still think he can please God with his rock guitar. It shouldn't take very long if the teaching's there. I don't think I should be doing this. Remember that kid in New Jersey? Read a couple music pages and he said, I got to quit doing this. And he joined band and choir. That's a depressing thought, huh? But he wanted to get away from that crummy music. Got to teach them that. But when we trip up and mess up, there's no law there to make us a sinner and to pay the price. He's paid all that kind of stuff. It's a concept of how you look at it. Okay? It has to edify. It can't be used as an occasion for your flesh. I mean, it can't just be something to do because it feels good, which is classic. It can't have power over you, which most of the stuff we do all the time because it has power over us. The biggest one, I think, is to cause somebody else to stumble, especially if you're a parent. Yeah, you can do that. God's not going to get you for it, but you're going to teach your kids something sad here, something wrong. Your example, your kids are going to do in 10 years when they're a teenager. Don't get mad at them. Oh, what did I leave out here? Not brought the power of one, not to stumble, not occasion for the flesh. Okay, just edify and expedient. Is it the right thing to do according to the Scriptures? And B, is it edify? What does it teach the body of Christ? Opposite of causing somebody to stumble. What does it teach them? That's what it is. And then lastly, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and I really mean lastly, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called to one body. And what does he say? And be thankful. And be ye thankful. The motivation to me for a Christian today to do right or to learn to follow Paul, that kind of a thing, we're going to fight sin all the time. Paul did, because sin is in there, but it's not us. We choose to follow or not because it's going to feel good to the flesh, etc., etc. But to try to change our life from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God is because of what Christ has done for us. And He took the law out of there. We're not even made a sinner anymore. We're made free. And what a bunch of unthankful people we must be. No, don't say that. Just say that we haven't been taught that. Well, now we've been taught that this morning. Again. It was not the bunny trail. Do we need an advocate? No. Why not? There's no law there to accuse us. Wow. But I got stuff going on. Yeah, no, that sin is still in. Let's learn to follow the right thing to teach our kids the same thing. Let's not teach them the fear of God. I mean, it's still there. They need to learn about it. That's why we read the Old Testament. They learn about how God used to operate. And then they read about the tribulation. They're going to learn how God's going to operate again. But right now, we're in the dispensation of grace, as called in Ephesians chapter 3. But then we got the Paul guys that, well, because we're under grace, we can listen to any kind of music we want. We can dress any way we want. We can do the stuff we want to do. Yeah, but no. And that's my problem with them. And that's why Jeff said what he said. That there are those people that got a hold of this Paul thing, then we've all slipped back into our old ways again. Because we have grace. It's very easy to do. I call them grace abusers. What do I call us? Stubborn? Unthankful? Easy to irritate, easy to offend. We've been this way for years. Why change? No, because the risen Christ took away the law. So don't have to worry about that anymore. Let's just start doing some things that are right. I'll just start with one thing. Well, how do I know what that is? Didn't Paul say, well, we taught you these things, how to please God? Find out what Paul says to please God. But what did we do for about 5 years here? Three, four years here. We went through the doctrine of Paul, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, went back through Galatians, read the life of Paul, and saw all this marvelous stuff that Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, had done. Then I got brave and got into the Timothy and Titus series. And that's where it started to come apart. We still don't want to do that stuff. And you got a snoopy preacher that tells you you ought to do that stuff. And you got a preacher that's not doing all that stuff either. We got an apostle that wasn't doing all that stuff. But that's no excuse. I like to think that God would be pleased enough that he'd drop a $50,000 check on us somewhere to keep this place going for 5 more years.